Ed Grimsley has been seeing battles between unknown craft in the night sky since he was a teenager. And since then, he has continued seeing what appear to be delta-shaped and saucer-shaped craft in space, shooting it out using what appears to be laser weapons. He has seen hundreds of these objects recently using his 5 military-grade night vision binoculars. He has invited many people, including myself and producer Tom Danheiser, to come to these various areas to view the objects in Earth space shooting it out. I have witnessed 2 of them. Using the night vision glasses, even skeptics who thought that he might have been seeing things have now been convinced that Ed Grimsley is seeing something very unusual. In a moment on Coast to Coast AM, Ed Grimsley, UFO Wars on Coast to Coast AM. What you're about to hear tonight could very well be one of the most riveting stories you have heard in a very long time. Ed Grimsley sees battles between unidentified flying objects in the skies using his military-grade night vision binoculars. Ed says the craft seem to be fighting with the use of laser weapons. Many skeptics who believed Ed was merely seeing things are becoming believers after spending time viewing the skies with Ed. He's with us for a full program tonight on Coast to Coast, Ed Grimsley. Ed, how are you?
Oh, pretty good, George.
Good, and I wanted to thank you for coming on the program at this late notice to Ed. Oh, I really appreciate it.
It's my honor. I have a lot of respect for your show, and it does things that is trying to get the truth out to the people, and it's all about the truth.
I'm going to tell you a story about you. You know, over the years, you and I have run into each other at conferences all around the country. And, you know, I didn't know who you were, really, you know, other than you were Ed Grimsley, and there's a guy who had a bag full of binoculars.
And yeah, I was the bad guy.
Yeah, you know, and Tom and I would go out, and we'd have our lunches and dinners. We'd run into Ed Grimsley. You were at every conference. You were always there. You're devoted into this field. And, you know, so I started asking around, and I'm saying, you know, who is this guy? He's a nice guy, but what does he do? And then one night at a meet and greet, you stood up and you said, I've got these night vision goggles, and I have been watching UFOs fighting in the skies. And I went to myself, whoa, I got to hear a little bit more about this guy. And the more we talked over the various conferences that we would meet at, the more I really was interested in seeing this. So finally, last year, we had an opportunity to run into each other at a conference, and you were holding one of your events on the top of a hotel, and somebody came down and said, Mr. Grimsley would like you to see what they're all looking at up here. And I said, all right, now's my time. Now, keep in mind, I've never seen a UFO ever in my life until that night. And then we went upstairs, and you had a couple night vision goggles in the third generation, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, you showed me what to look at in the night sky. And this for folks who look into the sky, you can see some stars, you know, especially if you live in a city. You'll see more if you live in the country. But I've got to tell you, when you look at the night sky with night vision goggles, you see more stars than you can ever imagine or count. And what Ed then did is something truly remarkable. He said, George, you got to look in this area. And so I did. And keep in mind, you've got these binoculars that are looking into the night sky, and everything is green, right? You've seen pictures of these. And all of a sudden, I start seeing some objects moving. Not satellites, because satellites go from one direction to the next. They don't change direction. You know, they don't zigzag. I saw an object zigzag, and then I saw another one zigzag. And Ed, you were as cool as anybody's ever been. You said, told you so. But people who were up there were absolutely taken back. What's going on up there, Ed?
Well, I believe that this activity has been going on probably since the Earth was built. Maybe they've been there for a long time. They may even be part of our creation or part of the tools that keeps us running. There's definitely got to be a good side and a bad side, so I don't know if it's good against evil. I don't know if it's God against the Satan or whatever, but there is definitely some flying against each other out there, and there's a numerous type of crafts, and these are real. They're not something that gets made up and hung on a string and then photographed. I mean, because these things are doing thousands of miles an hour across the sky.
And how high up do you think they are at? Because, you know, that was a big discussion that night. We're trying to figure out how high these objects were. What did you estimate at that time?
Well, I estimated that the one that I showed you with a laser that was flying along, and you asked, is it a satellite? And I said, no, because it keeps changing its speed and its course.
Right.
And I said, look, it's slowing up. Good, good. It's going to stop. And then you said, where'd it go? And
yeah.
I pointed the laser and said, there it is,
there
right
it is.
There. And you said, is that a star? And I said, no, it's faking to be a star. But watch it. Keep an eye. And I marked two stars with the laser near it.
Yeah.
And I said, there it is, right down between that. And you remember this because it'll take off and leave. And when it does, then you're going to realize it and probably watch it go. But you had handed the glasses off to Tommy or somebody
yeah.
else. And by the time I looked at it again and it's checked, it started to leave. And I said, here, it's leaving. And you didn't get the glasses back in time to see the actual leaving of it. But when you did look, I marked the two stars for you again, and it was gone. And that activity, that happens all the time. There is all kinds of things out there that pull up and stop, or they'll start out from nowhere and start moving.
Are we thinking, though, what, 50 miles up, 100 miles up?
No, that would be out in space, that one. And I would say that from just experience of watching them, I'm going to guess it was about 200 miles.
200 miles. Now, what? I know some of these questions are speculative for you, but
that's true. But you could stand on the freeway and watch cars go by, and you could say, "How fast is that
yeah,
one going?"
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Okay,
or
so
what kind is that one?
So up, you estimate.
Got to use judgment.
Absolutely. How big do you think those two objects were that I was looking at?
Well, the objects that that you looked at, I believe, were Delta. But you know, at that time, I had handed my glasses off. And then you saw and said, there it is, there it is. And when I got the glasses back, I could see the ghost-like disappearance of it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that it resembled what I call deltas, that looked something like a Concorde-type jet with one fin stabilizer up there and can just haul thousands of miles an hour. And I believe that they was probably between 80 and 100 miles up. Because I think they function their best right at the edge of the atmosphere and space. And when you see one of those, if you see it on one side of the sky and follow it quickly, it'll zigzag and pass and maneuver and be gone in 5 to 7 seconds.
Yeah, I had never seen anything move that fast. And these weren't meteorites, by the way. I mean, this meteorites just go whoosh, and they're gone.
Yeah, and they light up and give you a good appearance.
These things went at a nice fast clip, and then they made a 90-degree turn, then they came back, then they stopped, then they went again. I don't know what they are, Ed, whether they're man-made or ETs or what, but I'm telling you, there was something going on up there. There's craft going on.
What they were was definitely your opportunity to realize that we're not alone.
No. Now, let's...
And whoever's got those is sharing that technology.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the technology that you use and explain that laser that you were holding up that you used to help point out where this little star, which became an object, was up there for us. You've got a laser that you take with you. What do you use that for and how?
I had been buying these cheap lasers for $8, $10 at gas stations and things that are red, and they will show up, but only if somebody's standing pretty close to you and they're hard to see with naked eye, but with the glasses you can see them better. And I've been buying those, and it's just a simple way of pointing out what you're looking at.
I'm kind of like watching the line, right?
Yeah, people can find it easier. You just follow the line, and up you go. Now, sometimes when we lose them or they walk away after a big meeting or something, I have like a friend, Bob and Kathy, that come over from Santa Rosa, and they watch all the time. Well, he brings a small halogen flashlight, and as long as your beam is kind of picking up and going out there with a little flashlight, it helps. And but now I've got green lasers, and Radio Shack has one. I don't know. Should they pay us extra for this advertisement?
Yeah, they should, for you, anyway,
yeah.
At least.
Yeah, they could send me some free lasers. It'd be fine. And then on the computer, a friend of mine ordered some extras and got me some, and they're like $17, and they're 30 amp or 30 whatever they are, and there's some 50s. So now I'm taking them and attaching them to each one of the glasses.
Ah, okay.
String, and then, you know, and then hopefully they don't keep disappearing after people come, you know.
Tell me about the third generation glasses, and there's a fourth generation coming out. Will that make a big difference?
Well, the fourth generation from my friend Michael that's in San Francisco that has the night vision company, and I trust a lot of his judgment because he really has knowledge and has been helping me out a lot. He says that in theory, there's not really a fourth generation. It's kind of a hyped up third generation or enhanced. And there are some other things, but they're not available yet to the public. And the leery thing about the whole deal is that we can only get certain grade night vision in this country. You can't ship it out of that country.
I didn't know that.
And they will give you 7 years in federal prison for it. And I have massive people want me to go to other countries and put on a Skywatch there, but the government will not let me exit with these glasses to show them.
Well, these are military grade, right?
Yeah, they're military grade, but still the technology is like law enforcement offices and stuff use it. And our citizens are able to get them.
When we see movies of soldiers or police officers going into a house totally dark, but you can see the green of their vision, right? You can see like how the soldier, because you see the tip of his rifle, for example, is gone. Is that the kind of goggles we're talking about, the kind of binoculars?
Very similar. Okay. You see it in Iraq a lot, like the guy's there and has his glasses up on his helmet, or he's holding them in his hand and that. They're called PVS-7s, military industrial grade.
How do they work, Ed?
Well, basically they're focusing and eliminating the light, and they used to call them a starlight scope, and now it's changed, and it's not basically infrared. It's a process of collecting the light at different ranges and do that. Some night I'd like to get Michael, who owns his company, and give him 15 minutes on your show, and I'm going to tell you, he could enlighten the world. This guy's a genius, you know.
Enlighten the world? That wasn't a pun, was it?
Well, let me put it this way. The government is now making attempts. I don't know what it's going to be like after Obama, because there was AB, and then there's Obama.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna say that if the government's secret programs and stuff had their way, they want to keep the citizens in the dark.
Literally.
And these glasses puts the light on the darkness.
Oh no, I'm a believer in this. You know, I'm not the skeptic, but I go into these things, as you know, Ed, cautiously. I want the answers. I want the truth. I have never seen UFOs. I've talked about that on this program. And sure enough, when I was out there with you up on that roof, I saw two things I cannot explain. And to me, then, that's the definition of a UFO.
Well, actually, you saw three, because that one that flew along speeded up, uh-huh. slowed up, stopped, and then took off and left. That was your first one, and that was a different type vehicle. The other two were different UFOs.
Ah.
And so you've got.
I thought it was two. The second one. I thought was the same. So you're saying I had three that I was looking at.
Yeah, the other two that you saw was when you were holding the glasses on your own, and I was trying to show everybody stuff.
Right.
And the first one that I showed you, I was telling you, this is how you look, and I go, whoa, there's one right now. And I pointed the laser, you followed up, looked at it, and was tracking it, and then it started to slow up, and then it stopped. And you said, where did it go?
Yeah.
That was your first one. And then you saw two more after that that were the Delta type.
What's so remarkable about this, Ed, is that when you look at these, when you look at the sky through these, they're everywhere. I mean, it's not like you got to sit there for 10 years and maybe you'll see one. I mean, they're there almost every time you go out and look.
Well, I know George Knapp, whatever. He, at the one conference you were there, you kind of stood up and took my side. But we had said, or Bob Oliver from the radio station Quantum Leap in Monterey, mm-hmm. he's been out with me a lot, and he's getting pretty sharp at finding them. And he, every time I'd go out, I would find some for somebody. And the only thing it wouldn't be is if it was clouded over or rainy or the fog came in or that kind of thing. And there's so many different types.
Absolutely.
And
by the way, nice job. Jose Escamilla put together an incredible video with you called UFO Wars. And I want to talk about the shootout after the break here, Ed. But there is something going on up there, you know, and I don't know what it is, but we'll find out from you on why you believe that it's a extraterrestrial war. I wonder, do you think that our astronauts, when they go up in the shuttle, they see these two?
Yes, I think that they're sworn to secrecy, and one of the things that you've found out in the past, or people have talked about, and even gave me information, because I'm taking their word for it, but many astronauts are members of the Freemasons and different elite clubs. And so I think that they are probably sworn to secrecy. I think that we have a great fleet of military craft that belong to the world and is maybe managed by the U.S. government or the secret part of the government. And, you know, I've got to tell you that we are losing and others are losing, and the men that are flying those need to be recognized. There's people out there that are really brave, and they're flying out into space, and they're guarding our world. They're flying out beyond that, and they're losing their lives and not getting any recognition. They're not getting notarized for what their bravery is. I mean, how many people would want to fly out into space knowing that you may be lasered into a little piece of dust and never see your family or see Earth again? And those people need to have recognition. They need credit. I mean, when you talk about heroes and bravery, how about we strap you in an aircraft like that and send you out a million miles into space, and it's all being kept secret?
What percent of these UFOs that we see do you think may be man-made?
Well, man-made, I think there's humanoids all over the galaxy. And I don't know which ones are peaceful and friendly or which ones want to take us over or which ones want to protect us. So I think that the good bulk of what I'm seeing now on patrol and circulating around the globe all the time is man-made, and I think our secret program has been producing them very heavily.
All right, let's find out what's going on. Your opinion when we come back, Ed Grimsley. Ed, tell me about how you began to think about the UFO wars. What did you start seeing up there?
Well, the first thing that I saw about battling wasn't the first time I saw a craft. I saw a craft first when I was 10, 12 years old on Mount Santa Elena above Calistoga in the Napa Valley.
Right.
And they appeared and seemed friendly, and when I waved, one wobbled back, and then away they went. But in 1961 in the Sierras, on a Thursday night before deer season, we were in a hunting camp getting things ready, went to sleep, stretched, looked up in my sleeping bag, and there they were, like crystals flying around up there, massive amounts of them, and they were firing on each other, and they were circling and chasing. It was a crystal clear night. Everything was so beautiful, and there was a war going on, and I'm going, oh, my God. So I woke everybody up in the camp, and they watched for an hour and a half or so, and I stayed up and till daylight the next morning, watching it all through the night, and realized that, is this aliens fighting against other aliens, or is it Earth fighting to keep other aliens out?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it being done with protection, or is it a religious thing? Is this the Battle of Armageddon? Is there one angel against another angel? Kind of thing, and does angels not have wings? Instead, they have spacecraft, and that's our guardian angels out there protecting us. Well, I didn't know, and at 16 years old, I thought, wow, this is so great. And when I told my friends, I got laughed at and, you know, really, really put up with a lot. In fact, I had a couple of fights over it, but...
Did you win them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and well, I've only lost one fight out of 89, and I didn't know I was going to have it.
Oh, that's when producer Tom popped you at the event.
Yeah,
you went right there.
He's Sunday punch.
Yeah, he did.
It wasn't even Sunday.
We're only kidding. Tom is not a fighter. Yeah. He's a lover.
No, Tom's not mean.
No, not at all. Anyway,
he might be cruel, but he's not mean.
So you're looking at these things at that age. Eventually, though, you get to the night vision goggles, and you're starting to see some very strange things.
Right. I never knew what was going on, and I never saw that battle again, even the next night. And we had told the military about it and kind of got shot down and went into Reno the next day and did it. And then I was 18 years old, and... I had a bad experience because I used to shoot high-quality target with heavy bench rest and limited rifles.
Okay.
And a man showed up at one of my shoots and basically wanted to recruit me to be a shooter for the dark ops.
Really?
No, I never knew this. No, I don't tell it very much, but I can tell parts of the story, and I probably won't get shot for it. But anyway, they wanted me to work for them, and there's a lot more to it. And after watching me shoot and watching my scores, because in this competition, you try to shoot a five-shot group.
Were you going to be an assassin, Ed?
They wanted me to be.
I can't see you as that.
No. If I can't eat it, I don't want to shoot it.
No, I understand. As long as it's not roadkill, right?
Not roadkill. But the way I drive, it could happen. But anyway, that situation, we talked, and I never went for the job. And the sponsor who was my shooter, and that was a man who had developed different guns, like the 220 Swift, the 218B, and worked on the 222 Wildcat.
Okay, sure.
These are all different high-quality guns. They changed it to the 223 and used it as the military, like the M14 and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
M15s. But anyway, I got a scary reality came in at 18 years old, and that was in 1963. So there could be some connection there.
Yeah.
I really think that to talk about it much or who it was that talked to me and that would put all around me in jeopardy.
Well, what compelled you to start looking with night vision goggles? Well, I mean, something must have
sparked your interest. Well, I knew about that battle, And I knew it was true, and that what I saw wasn't a dream. And at 16, I wasn't drinking. Nothing strong anyway.
Right.
And so I wanted to see them if I could find them again. And I also like outdoors and wildlife and spend half my time in the woods or, you know, hiking and trying to photograph a bear or you know, sneak up on a mountain lion and do some, you know, the things that most crazy kids would do living in the country. And I bought a pair at the gun show in Reno that was $3,900, and that was in 97. I had sold some property and had a little money in my hand, and so I bought that pair, and I figured I could see those, and if I couldn't see those, I could see animals and go motorbike riding out through the country roads looking with your night vision glasses.
But you bought them specifically to look up into the skies.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I bought them. That was my main goal.
All right.
But I could also use them for other things. And on my way home that night, going from Reno up over Downer Summit, the highway, I think it's Highway 80, and I stopped up at the top of the summit and got the glasses out and started focusing on stars and that. And here comes one flying through down low. And I'm going, whoa. And this thing was maybe a mile above me, if at that. And then here's two, one chasing the other one, flying way up high, probably around 100 miles or 150 miles up. And they are two different shapes. And one is firing back. And you can see the beam firing back. And the other one's firing forward. And they fired a couple of times at each other. And the one from behind hit the one in front and just blew
the living daylights out of it, right?
Yeah, the living daylights out of it.
That's safer.
And it basically, I mean, it just blew that thing like a dynamite going off in the dark or fireworks, you know.
It's got to be a physical thing up there, Ed. I mean, they've got to be physical objects, don't you think?
Oh, they're definitely. It's not a image or an entity coming from space, appearing and disappearing, and that it's the real deal, you know. And well, let me put it this way: as a kid, I started out running the wing and taking flying lessons on sailplanes in Calistoga. So I flew gliders.
Okay.
And then I also flew fixed-wing airplane and a little bit of tail dragger and a little bit of nose gear.
So you know what you're talking about.
And I've flown helicopters. So, you know, I haven't flown any spacecraft yet, but damn, if I could get a chance.
You never know. They may come down and pick you up, Ed Grimsley.
They may give me a flying lesson, huh?
Speaking of that, that's your website, edgrimsley.com, right?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So when this is happening and you're watching this and you're witnessing these battles, one, I don't think they could be man-made shooting extraterrestrials. They could be man-made to man-made, because I think we would get obliterated if we attack them, don't you?
Well, I think so, but I think there's some that have come from a long way. And they may be trying to get into Earth, and there are others that are already here stopping them. That's one scenario there.
E.T. stopping them or
yeah,
humans?
E.T. to E.T.
Okay.
And I think that maybe there's an intensity going on, and I think E.T. or humanoid-like beings that are on our side or part of our heritage are standing up for us and protecting us, and they're kind of guarding the nest. And I think we've been given more technology, and we're building a lot of craft that are able to stand up and do it.
You know how we've seen some of these large triangular-shaped objects, and we don't know exactly what or where they are. Could these be some of the objects that we're looking at up there?
There's some large triangle-shaped ships. There's some large disc shaped ships. There's smaller ones that look like a silver football. There's one that looks like a V, and it's all around the outside of it, and it has a triangle shape to it, and it looks like what you would rack a pool, the pool table with, the little thing you put the balls inside,
yes.
And it's like
that's
that.
Right.
And I've actually seen that be flying with one point going really fast in one direction, and all of a sudden the other point takes off, kind of moves a little bit, and it's going out that way. So every one of those points can be a lead. And that's a little strange. I don't think we made that one, or if we did, we're copying somebody else's model of it.
Good point.
And there's a Joanne Richardson that's on my movie. And, I mean, I do a Cobby interview. I mean, it was the first time I put anybody on camera and myself. But Joanne holds it together pretty good, and she tells about her husband who is in prison now, and he's serving like 25 years of a life sentence, and he tried to quit. And I guess it's like the mafia. You don't just tell him you're no longer going to fly, you know. But in turn, his partner or a friend of his got killed, stabbed with a screwdriver or something. He was nowhere around, but then they said, well, he hired it or something along that lines. And so the man's been sitting in prison, and he does not tell about the program that's going on. But his father flew for the International Space Program. He flew for them for a while, could talk about that, but he's sworn to with the United States program. And so, I mean, you know, if he taught, they could kill him or do whatever. But what's worse than probably being in prison all your life, I really would like to talk to Obama and get him some truth and show him some of the film that I have that's the real thing. And it's just not any makeup. And I'd like him to maybe work on pardoning Mark and get her husband out. And I don't know what would happen. I don't think he can talk about a lot of stuff. But there's one man who is in his 70s that does not want his name out or even near where he lives. But he swears to me that he's flown back-engineered spacecraft.
Jeez.
And has been in battles in deep space. And he was in a battle over China some years back where there was a lot of craft trying to come in.
So we're trying to keep them out then, some of them.
Well, to the best of the information I'm getting from people that do not want to be exposed, that have inside information, they're telling me, get this out there. Tell the people the truth. And if they believe you, they believe you, but at least it's going to get out there. And so, you know, I've kind of done that. And my thing is that for a long time I've known that there was UFOs and spacecraft of different origins and saw a lot of battles. And I finally got to the point where when I was a kid, it bothered me if somebody said, oh, you're nuts or whatever, you know, and get in an argument. Now, if somebody says, you're nuts, there's no aliens, there's no spacecraft or whatever, I laugh at them. I says, great. You don't think so? That's fine. I'm so proud of you to have your opinion. And I say, you're nuts. Get some help.
Take them outside and just show them what you showed me.
Yeah, well, you can. But, you know, a lot of people will talk crap, and they won't give you a chance to back yours up.
I got to tell you, there was a guy out there who was very skeptical, and you shut him right down when you gave him the glasses and he started looking. He didn't know what to say.
Yeah. And that guy was saying, you're crazy. He says, there's nothing out there. And, you know, what are you looking at, birds and bats? And I says, no. A bird looks like this. A bat looks like that. A moth looks like that. And an airplane. And I showed him those different things. But while I was showing him what different things look like, two of them came by. And I said, there. And he held the glass up and he looked and he goes, oh, my God. And then one crossed and went across the other one and then took off out in the direction. The other one broke right and went out in the other direction. And these are 120 to 150 miles up, and they're spacecraft.
And let me ask you this. If we, as human beings, are up there trying to defend the planet from some extraterrestrials. Some are friendly, some aren't. And we're engaged in a battle with them. Why don't they tell us? I mean, do they think we would panic? I guess they would, wouldn't they?
Well, you know, I think people can panic and maybe would panic. But if they have technology to fly to other worlds and technology to make equipment and design things to where the rich and powerful people can control that, then they're the ones making the money, not the people. And there's a lot of technology that I don't blame them for hiding it from people because
it's classified.
Yeah, it's very dangerous. I mean, how would it be if some guy had a little ray gun that he could put in his pocket and it had all this energy and ability, and he drove down the road whacking cars? I mean,
or people.
Yeah, well, if you whack the car, the people are in it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that is just an example. And right at this point in the world, they're having enough problems controlling disasters where people lose it and they get a gun and shoot up a mall or do whatever. But that's mental illnesses, or it is programmed minds to do something with guns bad enough that everybody will say, well, we need to ban guns. We need to take guns away. Well, we need to ban idiots and retards from having them because guns never kill anybody. The people behind them do. And guns is the only thing that is defending freedom right now. And if you took guns away, I think that alien or otherwise could walk in here and take us over and say, walk down here. We've got these holes already drilled in the mountain. And get in your chains and go down there. And that's the kind of thing that's going to happen. And the friend of mine who was one of the heads of the NRA told me that when you make guns illegal, only those who operate illegal will have guns.
That's exactly right.
And, you know, it's kind of fun to shoot certain ways for sport, like shooting clay pigeons and targets and
right.
And all that stuff.
Well, and it's good for your own defense. I mean, I'm a proponent in guns. I think, you know, if you own a gun and you know how to handle it and take care of it, you're making yourself and your family a little more safer.
Right, because you don't know who's going to load up on some crazy drugs or be desperate and break into your house and do all that. But there's a few police officers out there running around that need to learn a little safety and respect because there's been a lot of murder by badge going on. And when they investigate their own shootings, they always come out smelling like roses. And to shoot somebody, I think there should be a super, super reason before it happens.
Well, that's true. I mean, they've always said if you have to pull a gun in defense, you darn better make sure.
Make sure you know how to use it.
Yep, absolutely. Ed, we're going to take phone calls with you when we come back. Give you an opportunity to talk with Ed Grimsley, UFO Wars. He believes something's going on up there. Well, I believe also that something is happening. I witnessed it myself. Just who and what, I do not know. We'll take your phone calls with Ed Grimsley next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We've got Ed Grimsley and your phone calls tonight. You know, I know Jose Escamilla. He's a great film producer, Ed. When he heard what you were doing with Night Vision and these UFO wars, I bet he went crazy, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He told me, you can prove what I know is out there. And he says, why haven't you, you know, came forward before? And I said, well, I was just a little embarrassed, and I've been telling a lot of people, but I never went public with it. And so anyway, Roger Lear had introduced him to me.
Yeah, good man.
And I forgive Roger. I like Roger. He is so good. And Jose and him are good buddies, and they really know their stuff.
Yeah, they do.
Now, Jose, you know, I hope he's not listening because I don't want his head to swell. You know
he is.
But he has so much knowledge about UFOs and the things that are going on and the rods and the orbs, and he gets so much crap like, oh, those are birds, those are little balls of light, or they're glares or whatever. And you know, there's so many people out there that are so skeptical. But the whole problem is, if they opened their mind and looked at it sensible, with common sense, they have to know something's going on.
Absolutely. Let's go to the phone. You ready?
Yeah. One thing I was going to ask is,
sure,
if Bob and Kathy could maybe give a call in, because these people have been to many sky watches, and she's even gotten a three.
Okay,
C3
if they can
battles.
Get through, Eddie.
Yeah,
the lines
yeah,
are jammed for
through.
You. Let's go to Washington.
Are they jamming up?
Oh, you got it. West of the Rockies. Tom, you're on the air with Ed Grimsley on Coast to Coast.
Hey. Yeah. I think that the only way that we're going to get this out there to blow the lid off this, to get the attention of anybody in the White House, you were talking about you wanted to show Obama these videos. I think the only way to do it is to create enough buzz about it elsewhere to force him to at least acknowledge it. But the question I had was, you said you talked to an individual that was 7 years old that...
Well, he's in his 70s.
You don't want to reveal his name, you don't want to talk about him, and that's fine. Have you heard from anybody anywhere? You've been to a lot of sky watches, from anybody that said anything about disclosure to you, about the oncoming disclosure? If once this could be the war of Armageddon that you see in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And if we win, and it appears that we're winning, somebody's got to win and somebody's got to lose, unless this kind of a thing just going to keep going on and on and on. Maybe these videos that you're making and things, we can put on some kind of a campaign to all the news organizations, and maybe somebody will eventually do a story on it.
Yeah. Well, I would love to go on Larry King and or Letterman and that, and take the footage that nobody has seen yet and show them that, because it'll blow the world.
I think you do a better job than Joaquin Phoenix would do on Letterman's show, that's for sure.
Yeah, I saw a glimpse of that. And
bizarre.
He must have fell and hurt himself.
I don't know, Eddie. I don't know. But you do. You need that kind of coverage and exposure. Maybe the couple appearances you've had on this show will help you, where people will just start to wake up and go, you know what, we got to look at this stuff. See, again, I don't know what this is, but I can tell you it's unusual. It's unidentified to me. Very, very strange. And to me, that's worthy of an investigation, Ed.
Well, it's worthy of an investigation because those who are high up authorities in NASA and other places are hiding the truth. So why are we being hidden from the truth and try to keep us in the dark and not let us know and see what's going on? Well, I think that's the danger. I don't think we're so dangerous of an alien takeover or corrupting us. I think that we've been taken over already, and I think there's forms of our government that's probably being led by other than ours. And how do you vote on the truth if they don't tell you the truth?
Good point. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller, Billy in Napa Valley, California. Hey, Billy.
Hi, George. I'm a huge fan of yours.
Well, thank you, Billy.
Hey, Ed, I just wanted to tell you, I've worked with Gene on the Napa Valley for many years, and I heard that you were from St. Helena.
Calistoga.
Okay.
There you go.
I've worked with kids for the last 12 years teaching music and stuff in Calistoga and in St. Helena, and there's a handful of kids every year that come and tell me about the lights and that they see UFOs coming in and out of the valley there late at night when they're out partying and whatnot.
Yeah, I've got kids all over Calistoga, Santa Lena, adults and that. I probably have, out of a town of 4,000 or 5,000 people here, I probably have 1,500 of them that have came and looked through my glasses and saw this stuff.
That's remarkable. It's the same group of kids I take to do EVPs. We actually do EVPs up there.
Oh, do you? Okay, that sounds great.
It's a lot of fun. Keep up the good work, Ed. I'm going to get that DVD and show the kids and see if that's what they're talking about.
Okay. Get my phone number off the web. Give me a call, and we'll hook you up with a free night shot there and see what is going on.
Let's go to Pennsylvania. Ed, Helen is on the line with us. Hello, Helen.
Oh, hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to ask you or suggest this. You have proposed that it might be, you know, good humans on Earth who have these UFOs and are trying to, you know, keep these bad aliens from getting in. What if it's the other way around? Now,
Well, I think that's possible. The bad keeping the good out.
Yeah.
You flip the coin, what side is going to land on?
Sure.
Because there's, black shadow government here is pretty much Luciferian, you know, and they're the ones that have the UFOs.
Well, there's more black shadow in the government than you realize.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that Obama will not be affected by it. I hope that he will strive forward for mankind, the real mankind, and see that humans have to get together. I've started a thing called Citizens Alliance to stand up against corrupt government and lies being told to us. If you tell them a lie, they put you in jail. If they tell you a lie, they just put you in jeopardy. So it's the human beings need to stand up no matter what country they're in and have the Citizens Alliance where you can get together. And if there's a truth, then you investigate, you look, and you find out, and they're stealing money and or taking money from some fund and using it for another one that's on the sly and they're not talking about it, then you got to understand why are they doing that. And we need to control. It's our fault that our government is as bad as it is because we have neglected our responsibility as citizens of keeping an eye on what's going on around us. You can't just vote for some jerk and put him in office and then expect him to do everything right. You gotta keep an eye on it. You gotta stay in touch. And if they're being corrupt, they need to be prosecuted. If the citizens are doing something corrupt, they get prosecuted. And if you vote for something, do they even care? Because they do what they want later.
That's right. Bedford, Virginia, we go. Hello, Bill, east of the Rockies.
Well, it's a privilege to get through.
Sure thing.
You know, and your guest tonight lines up with Ken Klein, with everything he was saying. This man coincides. It's more witness to what is really being, it's testifying. And
well, that's a good point, Bill. And I know where you're headed here. We're headed toward an angelic attack, but very good.
And his vision of his thoughts on what the government's doing is part of the disease. It's part of corruption, and it's no way, as in your heart, as he says, you must stand up because you know in your heart what's written, what's right, and what's wrong. You ask a three-year-old child, if their friend sticks their head in the fire, are you going to do it? And that three-year-old would tell you 100% of the time, unless it's mentally afflicted, that it will not. So the right and wrong is written. That's a simple example, but... And he sees it as well as most of your guests do. And it's such a privilege to know that someone is testifying on behalf of Jesus Christ and stepping forward. And I don't know, it's your producers and your owners that allow you to do it. How much longer do you think shows like this is really the question? Do you think that they will keep you on the air knowing that you're exposing so much because it is all correct?
And Billy, our ratings are so high. There's nothing that can happen.
Well, I'm telling you, and your guest there, Mr. Grimsley, he is so on the mark, and is so on the mark. And I can tell you from my own testimony, my own witnesses, what I've seen is unexplainable. It's only been a few things, but I've seen a silver orb that I've wanted to just call in and talk about. It was there, and I watched it for, 5 minutes on a spring day 3 years ago. And then there was no one home that day, no one next door that I could run and say, hey, look what I got. And then it moved so quickly out of my sight. It was like just what you can imagine, moving so fast that you just could not imagine it.
Well, what you need to do is get pictures of these orbs, of various orbs that are real orbs.
I have a monocular that I have watched these things that you speak of.
And what you need to do is get it up close, photo it, and examine it, and you will find a little spiritual or creature-type faces inside of the bubble of the orb. You'll see them appear.
Now, tell me about that, Ed. What do you mean, a little creature in the bubble? Like a little...
Like a little smiley face-like, or a little animal creature.
Is it is the bubble like a craft?
It seems like it could be a spiritual craft for a creature. I don't know where animals go when they die. I don't know where people go when they die, but I hear so many different things. But when you look at these pictures, rather it's James Gillian's pictures of bubbles and orbs around him, or Jose Escamilla's, or people are sending me in these, I get so many of them sent to me, the pictures. And, you know, the pictures have little creatures in it, like a little varmint-looking creature, or like a raccoon face. Or they have like a smiley face, cartoon type of face. And all these bubbles, of like as if you blew bubbles into the air with one of those little soap-making machines. Now, when they look like that coming back from somebody's orb experience, and I run them up, and I forensic them on the computer and bring them in and zoom them in, there's little faces in there.
You're the reason why I haven't rushed up to Gilliland's Ranch, because I've seen two UFOs now. That was my quest and goal, and you saved me a trip.
Well,
I still maybe
you should still go, because there's always room to learn.
I guess if one goes, should you bring glasses like yours, binoculars?
I would say that it would be a great advantage wherever you go to have them. He has one pair that I got for him. He paid for them, but I helped him get them.
Okay.
And basically, there's a lot of activity up there.
Let's go to Miami.
Lot of activity everywhere. So
Miami, Florida, we go. Manny, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Manny.
I just had some idea that I've been on the chat lines with the other UFO chats, and I saw that they have, sometimes they post to YouTube, and they video a lot of stuff, people, you know, with their cameras, and I've seen some interesting videos, and I thought maybe he could do that. I don't know if he's done it or not.
What I've done is, the YouTube has a lot of good things on it and a lot of bad things. I've talked to a lot of people about the night vision and filming UFOs and how to do it. And some of those people are filming through the night vision and doing some great camera work. But one of the problems is that I see some activity that they've filmed is spacecraft and things going on, or could really be real. But there's a problem, because a lot of them don't have the experience of the 12 years that I have of seeing what fleets look like and what Fox look like. And one is spacecraft and one is birds. And there's some great shots of flocks of birds, and somebody's in the background saying, you know, this is this, and they're coming, and whatever. Well, excuse me, God, use your eyes. I mean, these things are jumping around, breaking formation. They're birds.
Well, you know, I just saw one recently in Capreton, France, that was amazing. And this guy probably had a tripod, and he probably was early in the morning, and it was a small town there, a small village or town, mm-hmm. and he captured a disc in daytime. And you could see that he wasn't really, this was not a hoax or a fake. This guy really has a fantastic, you know, a video. It's a minute, I think 1 minute and 15 or, no, 1 minute, 17 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows this, you know, it's a disc, a UFO coming into the scene, and then it goes behind the buildings, and he captures it from underneath it, and you see him moving the camera with a tripod. He's not moving it up and down like most amateurs are.
Yeah.
It's a place called Capreton, France, and you should be able to pick it up, you know, if you can, and take a look at it. I'm
amazed. I'm going to try to find it. In fact, my phone number's on the website now. Maybe you can call me later.
What's your email address, Ed? Do you want to give that out?
Yeah, it's no problem. It's ed.grimsley@yahoo.com.
All right, and you got to put the dot between Ed and Grimsley, right?
Right.
Ed.grimsley, G-R-I-M-S-L-E-Y, @yahoo.com.
Yeah, and my website is www.edgrimsley.com. And you'll see information on there about who you can call and talk to about night vision. If you mention my name, you'll get a discount on the night vision pairs through Mike. And I'd like to get Mike to sometime talk to the people and give them some good details.
Yeah, and explain a little bit how this works. In
but
terms
on,
of
on your on your situation there about the good footage and all that, I have a lot of good footage that I haven't released. And I'm trying to wait for the right moment and do it. My website has some stuff on it with an older camera, and it's not as good as some of the new stuff. But it's like Richard Hoagland's girlfriend or
Robin. Yeah. Robin, the significant other.
The significant other was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and the day before I had just talked to this George Norrie guy on the radio, and we talked about UFOs and that he got to see them and that. And then the very next night at the Tesla conference there, there was about 30 people sitting around the swimming pool at the hotel that everybody was there. So we got out several pair of night vision and people were sitting around talking. And George Gabori George Gabori got out his camera and took it up to one of my glasses and put a big screen out there. And we watched a few things go by.
On a bigger screen?
Yeah, on a great big screen. Yeah. And it was, I think the screen's about 8x6 or something like that. And people were watching it and we're relaxing and talking and they're seeing what we're seeing. And all of a sudden, a big mothership probably 200 miles up, pulls up, starts to slow up, just like the one did when I was showing you, George. It slows up. It comes to a stop, and I'm telling George to do it. Well, George is passing it, and he's thinking it's a big star.
Yeah.
And then he catches up on some flying out of it, and they're flying out, you know, 200 miles high, flying out 2x2x2. It sounds like a Noah's Ark story.
That's remarkable. Ed, stay with us. We're going to take more phone calls when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And we're back with Ed Grimsley. Ed, these wars that are going on, you think they're being done with laser weapons as opposed to some other incredible piece of weaponry?
Well, I do see what looks to be like a laser or a railgun type with a ball of energy sent out. And the ones that I see battling now appear to have a better range than the ones I saw in 61. They were firing in closer and not so far. And now I see them being fired at four times the distance. Oops. And they appear to be some type of laser or a ball of energy that comes out. And you can see it leave in the flash of it, and when it takes out the vehicle, it's pretty amazing. And the energy, sometimes if they miss, you can see the energy go by the craft, and then they fire again and get it. And when it's like seeing a tracer bullet go by, and then the next one hit.
Right.
And so it's a type of energy. And I'm thinking along the lines of a railgun or a proton ball energy, laser blast. It's definitely some high sophisticated thing. But one of the things that I saw about 8 months now is I stepped out to get my camera and glasses ready and was going to look out the night sky. And I saw this streak go from as far as I could see in one direction to as far as I could see in the other direction so fast that I couldn't keep my head up with it. In fast enough. And it was maybe 1 second, and it must have traveled 5,000 miles in 1 second or less. And it was creating its own energy field in front of it, which was a blue-colored crystallization of something because you could see the sparkles of it. And it was making a tube, and it flew within the tube, and the sparkles and the elements behind it still held its tube shape, and then they would dissipate. And it took them a couple minutes to dissipate totally. But this craft went, as far as I could see, inside of a tube, and it was at the edge of space. I'm thinking maybe 100 miles up or maybe a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
but it was, looks like ionization or pushing like a beam
mm-hmm.
out in front of the craft, separating the particles and energizing them and flying through the tunnel that it had created. And I know they've got that kind of thing. It had to be a man-made or a tool that was made by ETs that are maybe testing with us or working with us. Maybe they can travel out into space and out into time very fast. And it's something that I wouldn't want everybody here on planet Earth to have the knowledge and technique of doing it. We'd be running into each other at high speeds, but it's definitely a knowledge they're hiding. And I think that the world needs to know if they have this type of thing and it's being used. Don't let the world know how to make it, but let the world know it exists and that we're traveling with it. There might, I mean, it's just that I see and know of so many things that the night vision glasses can bring you, and why they're hiding that capability from you. I've started quite a row around the world because the things I've been telling and saying and showing people, they've been getting glasses and doing it, and they're finding out it's true.
They are. Let's go and take some more calls there.
Yeah.
Jason in Bakersfield, California, first-time caller. Hi, Jason.
Hey.
Good to have you with us.
Now, what about the sighting that everybody's been talking about in Phoenix, to where it covered Tucson and everything like that?
That's huge. 1997 sighting.
Yeah.
That's big.
Now, my friend that's a Walmart driver, he stopped on the freeway and looked at this, and then he saw F-15s go up in there going towards it, and then it goes disappears.
And they said they were flares. Huh. I don't think so.
But he's saying now the government is now saying that they can't identify it now.
I think they said they were jets, and then they said they were flares. Ed Grimsley, too bad we didn't have our vision goggles at that time, huh?
Oh, yeah. If they had a pair of goggles out, they could definitely see that.
Yep, you would have seen everything,
well,
shape.
The only thing I can do is give you my best guesstimate on that, and what I think is that they saw real things, real happenings, and the government probably knows in one department and not telling the other department. And if there was F-16s went out, they went out to investigate. They might have got turned around. They might have got vaporized. I don't know what happened to them. But during the Korean War, there was more aircraft lost over the United States to encounters with UFOs and not making it back from the encounter, or being damaged and crashed and not know why and how, than there was in the Korean War.
And they kept it pretty quiet, didn't
and
they?
And it's very secret. Oh, yes. I when I was in the Air Force, I had a good friend who was my wing commander or flight commander at my base.
Yeah.
And he flew 106 Delta darts. Pretty fast, scrambles up, goes afterburner, climbs out, and has the ability to fire rockets by scrambling and doing some defense with the missiles. And he was encountering something closing at him about 5,000-6,000 miles an hour, and he got everything ready, and he went to fire, and his system shut down. The thing passed him and was a glowing energy form, passed him and was just like a streak of light going by. His systems came on, and I think some of his missiles and rockets fired, and there had to be some retrieval where they went into Canada to get it. But, you know, this is 1965 or somewhere in there, and they don't tell you much about it. And I'm thinking that it's good that they don't tell us everything, or we'd be scared, you know, just terrible. And we are probably not in as much danger as we could be, but there's so much being kept secret and lied to that I don't believe that they have the right to keep it from us.
No, I don't think so either. Let's go next to Richard in Tucson, Arizona on the wild card line. Hey, Richard.
Hi.
Yes.
I was at the end of Blue Book. I helped close it out in 69 and 70. And during that period of time, it wasn't our job to discover what UFOs were or were not, but to keep them in the dark. Because some were us and some were them and some were things we didn't choose to explain. If we could not dissuade the people we interviewed, we tried to call it all kinds of other things, just so that that our secrets supposedly were safe and things like that.
Did you work with Hynek, Richard?
No, I worked in Indiana and Ohio, and I reported to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Are you a believer that the Roswell wreckage that was taken apparently to Wright-Patterson was indeed from a crashed UFO?
Yes, there's no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I read the initial reports that were published for Eyes Only and things like that. You know, there's no reason for those people to lie about something like that. You know,
I agree.
We were told to.
You were told.
Our job was to allow UFOs to remain UFO.
Were we privately concerned about them?
At that time, we were concerned about everything. We were running on paranoia more than anything else. It was a strange situation way back then. But the whole system was set up to keep everything dark.
Cover up, and keep
exactly.
Everybody in doubt.
Exactly.
Why, though, Richard? What were they afraid of? They think we couldn't handle it, or was it something else?
No, we have our own equipment. We were reverse engineering stuff from ETs and also developing our own equipment and didn't want anyone else to know about it.
Did we know where they were coming from?
I don't know at that time if we knew where they were coming from, other than they may have been, as we were told, otherworldly.
Yeah.
Or the stuff that we were developing at the time.
Were they friendly?
Heaven only knows. Don't know that for sure.
Okay.
I mean, our purpose was to identify the objects, not to do in-depth analysis of the critters or whatever you want to call them.
Were you fortunate enough to see anything up front, up close?
Not until years later.
And then what happened?
It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. They're, you know, taking things apart and putting things back together and the stuff they discovered and still haven't let out with, it's mind-boggling. It's almost, you really can't believe it when you first see it. It takes an awful lot of time to absorb.
I was going
to
say, was it difficult to comprehend the fact that, you know that we were being visited? I mean, that's got to be kind of eerie.
And to know also that there were things that were not otherworldly involved in it, too. You know, and how frustrating it was for those of us who do believe in that sort of thing.
Yeah.
To be told you will lie no matter what.
Were the occupants always of the gray type?
No. Some of the equipment ran by itself. It was run remotely.
Robotic.
Yes.
That's fascinating. Okay, I want to keep in touch with you, Richard. So, drop me a little line, would you?
I sure will.
Okay, my friend. Thanks.
Give me a call anytime, okay?
It's a great story at Grimsley, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, it's true what he's saying, what he said word for word. I have other people that are giving me inside information and talking to me of experiences they've had and the Roswell connections and the things that are there. And the other thing was that back in 61, when I told my grandfather about what I had saw and all that, and he says, well, I know you're not crazy. And my grandfather had left home and when he was like 14, because back in the old days, he got into some trouble, got into some gunfight stuff with the cowboy boys, you know, like the Wild West thing, and he was quite old. And he told me that Mamie Eisenhower told him that there was aliens and that there was a truce being worked on. And how he told me that was because Mamie Eisenhower was my grandfather's first cousin.
Really?
And she told him that there was aliens that didn't look like us, and there was some that looked like us, and that some had been injured and was working with us and sharing technology, and you wouldn't believe the things they could do.
Ed, we're getting some amazing phone calls tonight. Youngstown, Ohio. Steve, you're up with us. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, Steve. Go ahead.
My question is simple. Is there any correlation to time travel as it pertains to your theories on how there may be, I don't know what the technological capabilities are as far as our military and our government right now, but in the future, is there a correlation as to our ability to wage these wars and do these things? Do you think there's any type of, no?
Well, as far as the time travel thing goes, remember that the Philadelphia experiment took place and that our government didn't think much of lives and sailors and things enough. They just left them on the boat and trying to transport it from one to the other, sort of the Beam Me Up Scotty type program. And a lot of the soldiers died and were wedged in some of the materials of the ship. And a lot of injuries took place. And I know a scientist that has some of the tubes that was used during that experiment. Now, you cannot imagine that they would stop doing those experiments, but I think they went underground with those experiments. And I think they were getting things from spacecraft that could actually appear and disappear because they could cloak into time zones, transmit energies. And I think that right now we have spacecraft that are traveling out to the moon, traveling to Mars, and doing a lot of things that we're not being told. And I think we're just getting this little information, well, the lander's on the Mars and taking wonderful pictures. Well, I think we've been to Mars many, many times. I think there's human-like beings there. There's mining going on. The moon, there's equipment. I've got photographs that we got from a source that we wouldn't disclose, but there it shows pictures of equipment mining on the moon. It shows walking paths from one point to another where you can see the trail, like as if the animals or the deer would walk on a trail in the forest. And so if there's not life on the moon, and that, then what is traveling over this and maintaining these little trails? So, you see, the untruth is our enemy, and we need to get the truth, or we will be destroyed by not knowing it.
Take another caller or two. Let's go to Vancouver, Canada, on the international line. Jay, you're...
Hi.
Got it. Go ahead.
Hi.
Uh-huh.
Fascinating stuff, eh?
It really is.
Beautiful. Oh, it all starts to make sense when you put all the little pieces together and you look at the big picture, kind of. Sorry, I just ran up the stairs, so I'm a little bit out of breath. Ed, what are the chances that I'm seeing this stuff all the time without goggles or glasses?
Well, it depends. If you're sober and you're seeing it, or you're not. Now, I think it's real, and I've seen it when I didn't have glasses, and I'm not a drinking man, and I can see things without the glasses, but it's because I'm knowing what to look for. And once you start using the glasses a lot, your eyes become available to pick up more in the night than you could before. And this is something that the other people have experienced, and it's totally amazing the things that you can see without your glasses. But, you know, you have to tune in to things. You can't not pay attention. There's a way to just relax yourself, to open your mind and let the energy come in, and you'll get more knowledge than you would ever. You can't just close your eyes, look at the ground, look up, look around and all that. You have to open your mind to what is around you. You have to be sensitive to the elements. I mean, a dog has sense of smell that can smell so many things and so many abilities and hearing that we supposedly don't have. But I think we have it, but we haven't learned to use it. And if you use your sensitivity, you will see the craft at various times, but you have to open your mind and you have to be in that frame. So, you know, that's all I got. That's what I feel.
Remarkable information, Ed Grimsley. Ed's website, www.edgrimsley.com. I'll spell it for you. EDGRIMSLEY.com. UFO Wars. I'll be back in a moment with open lines.